And of course, yesterday, the provincial government delivered a budget that promised a brighter future. It contained no new taxes, but featured increased spending. Common Front NL is a coalition of labor, social justice, and community groups that represents more than 100,000 Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. Common Front Chair, Elise Stewart, was at Confederation Building yesterday for the release of the budget. She joins me live in studio. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning.
Pluck out a couple of highlights for you.
I mean, it's actually quite difficult to do that because it was all those big announcements have already happened. So to us, it felt like the budget was an afterthought. They're like, oh, wait, now we actually have to do the thing that we are governed to do. Like, now we have to do our mandated work here. So some of the highlights were that there weren't a lot of cuts, you know, to like the social sector, education, those areas. There weren't those massive cuts that we saw in 2016. So that is kind of like the best news we can get. The language around climate change is good. Inclusion, kind of the wording we saw was really, I guess, brighter. I mean, air quotes were being used on that in studio. Mm-hmm. However, we're not seeing those big, you know, investments into those areas, those big commitments. Pay equity has been promised for, you know, I think we're on year three now. And that wasn't even mentioned in the budget. No mandate to do that. So that's concerning. And as we go into this provincial election, which I guess could be any moment now, we want to see those big commitments to the green, you know, to climate action. We want to see it to pay equity, to closing the gender gap, to reducing poverty. Poverty was mentioned, poverty reduction measures. There's like 162 that are mentioned. A lot of those were funding that already existed. So it wasn't any new funding. It was just reiterating the funding that was already there.
Let's talk about climate.
Yeah.
Words are important. Actions are even more important. While the province is fast-tracking towards doubling oil production by 2030, and of course, even the price on pollution in this province is only 4.5 cents on a liter of fuel. So mention of climate, you're happy with the word, but how does it jibe with the actions?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there that it's really it's hard for a province to say they are committed to climate action and climate change when they double down on oil. So we're seeing across North America that a lot of provinces, states are moving away from oil, and we've kind of picked up that other space, you know, that we're going to be the leaders. That's because everybody else is leaving, you know. So do you want to be the leader in something that's collapsing? And the UN has recently announced that we have 11 years to like seriously combat climate change, or else it will be too late. So those numbers scare me a lot, as they should. You know, I'm a millennial. I'm a person that is, you know, living in this province, thinking about starting a family. It's really hard to start a family when you think you only have 10 years to build a life in this province before you're going to have to drastically change everything you do. So the bag ban was 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. So again, that's good. Those are good steps. Banning single-use plastic is certainly a step in the right direction. However, when we're doubling down on oil production and doubling down on oil exploration and doing all these things, it seems counterintuitive and, to be honest, not very truthful in a lot of ways.
When dealing with plastics, that was the easy one.
Yeah.
There's so many more issues that have to be dealt with. Certainly. When we talk about the amount of plastic. Just walk into a grocery store to see an individual cucumber wrapped in plastic is really hard to understand. You talk about starting a new family, some of the social programs, whether it be childcare, another bit of spend there. Not sure exactly how that's going to work out. What would you like to see done, even with that minimal spend on childcare?
Yeah. So I think the concern with that amount, which was similar to the federal government, they're increasing the time that you can take off. It's not clear if they're increasing the money that you have during that time. So a lot of businesses, a lot of social sector folks will kind of do your top up. So if I'm taking 18 weeks, they'll make sure that I'm getting full pay. I'm not just on EI during that time. So it seems like in that announcement, they're not committing to making sure you're getting paid at least the EI, but maybe they're going to stretch the similar to the federal government. They're going to stretch that allocation to just be longer, which actually means you're going to have less money for longer. So we want to see that commitment to accessible childcare in this province. We know that this is often been called like a childcare desert. There isn't enough affordable childcare here. So if we, again, really want to address poverty, we really want to address the wage gap, we really want to address gender equity, we need to have accessible childcare for everyone and not just a longer time with less money.
The economics are clear.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the man or the woman, mm-hmm. covered by longer with equal amounts, not just, you know, deferring money down the line and get people back in the workforce quicker, it's good for everybody. A dollar spent is seven back, as they say in Quebec.
Yep.
What's in there for workers?
You know, I think that the workers have been doing, you know, for the past 4 years, when the first budget dropped in 2016, we saw the effect that it had on workers. You know, thousands went out to the NL Rising. And since then, there's been that concerted effort to kind of keep those wins coming. We had our PTSD legislation. There's been those sort of wins. I think that workers are going to be happy that there weren't massive cuts to the public sector. In fact, in the budget speech, Tom Morrisbourne, one of the first paragraphs, what he said was committing to a strong public sector. And that's because workers have been, you know, kind of banging that drum for the past 3 years. Common Front has been essential, honestly, in that work, because we were talking to so many folks and getting that language out there and making sure that there weren't massive cuts to the public sector. So they're going to be happy at that. Of course, there's going to be concerns about these new buildings that are being built, the Penn, long-term care homes. What is that model? Are we just using private industry? What's the public sector's influence in that area?
Yeah, we borrowed $1.2 billion. We pretend we're in a surplus. It's really a $575 million deficit.
Yeah. But those, a little magic those, trick there.
The accrual counting is fair. It's absolutely in line with standard practices. But those P3s are not reflected on the balance sheet. Here we are pretending to go back to surplus, or aiming to go back to surplus in 2022-23. Insofar as poverty reduction goes, I know there's lots of measures there. And then you also mentioned minimum wage and those types of things. Yeah. You know, the Canadian stats say that minimum wage earners are only 10% of minimum wage earners come from low-income households. Are we taking the right angle at minimum wage? Because when we link it directly with poverty, the stats don't back that up.
Yeah, certainly. You know, and our coalition has been doing 15 in fairness. It's something that we're certainly passionate about. And we're seeing not only that most minimum wage earners, the majority, the overwhelming majority, are over the age of 30, so we have to dispel that myth. And also, you're right, are coming from the lowest income homes. They're working two or three jobs at minimum wage, you know, 60-hour weeks to get above that poverty line. So it's certainly not that if you're working a minimum wage jobs at full-time that you wouldn't be in that lower income. It's that folks are working two, three jobs in order to bump themselves above that point. So we didn't see any commitment to that. There was no language about it, which was certainly disappointing. We've had conversations. You know, we've been having lobby meetings with municipal government. We've been trying to get meetings with the provincial government, which has yet not been fruitful, but we're really hoping that we're going to get those meetings to have the conversation, like you're saying, Patty, to dispel those myths, to look at how it can put money into our economy. And it's one, and the UN is another, I'll go back to them as well as the World Bank. Other areas have said one of the biggest poverty reduction measures that you can take right away is to move the minimum wage up. I mean, it's simple when you think about it. Of course, you need to put more money in folks' pockets so that they can invest in the local economy. So we're disappointed to not see any of that language as well.
Appreciate your time this morning, Lisa. Always good to have you on.
Oh, thanks so much, Patty.
That's Lisa Stewart. She's the chair of Common Front.